My name is John Beaulieu. I'm from the USDA in New Orleans, and I'm the chair of the Post-Harvest Working Group, and that's the group that decided to sponsor and put on this topic, the nuts and bolts of international shipping with regards to post-harvest and how it affects us all. So this is really not my area. However, I was charged with taking care of the workshop, and I thought that our four esteemed speakers today might not give much of a background because they'll probably want to focus on their little world and their realm and their niche and their expertise. So I took it upon myself to just make a few intro statements and show a couple of cute little tidbits. The whole thing about international shipping, obviously, it's something that is absolutely required in all of our horticultural industries, floriculture, you name it, vegetables, you name it, fruits, you name it, whether they're tropical or domestic, in season, out of season, because we as a consumer demand those things on our product shelves 365 days a year, always. That's just the way it is. So whole industry has built up worldwide around this. So the goal of today's presentation is just to give you some of the general logistics and an overview, some of the intricacies and post-harvest problems that are encountered with the various modals of transport, predominantly the ships, the containers, and the boats, although there is air freight also, and how it specifically regards to produce, because that's what we are as a working group, mainly involved with produce. So if you just look really quick at the major seaports around the world, you'll notice that they are very fairly well distributed, and these are the major ones. So you look at every continent and every coast, they're almost circle the globe perfectly. And so that makes sense, right? Because stuff comes from everywhere and it needs to go everywhere, and there's people everywhere. Well, I thought it was very interesting to pop up World Mapper and to look at it from a different perspective and say, where's our population? Well, so you look at the population, and of course, South America and Africa, believe it or not, are just minuscule compared to India and Asia, right? That makes sense, too, because we know that's where most of the majority of the world's population is. Well, then, World Mapper has a really cool map. The next one puts it even into better perspective of where are the ports based on the volume of transportation. And that really gives the real and the different picture. You look at China. It just obliterates like a balloon the rest of the world. Africa has turned into, pardon me, an emaciated skinny thing just like most of the starving people there, right? As well as most of South America except for Brazil. So you can see that there's a big discrepancy on where the stuff is coming from, and that can be indicated as well if you just look for fun at some of the major top 50 ports with regards to percentage of volume. You can see in the first slide, 6 out of the top 8 ports worldwide are in China, and then their percentage of the volume is substantially high when you look at the top big ports, Shanghai being the world's biggest. And then Los Angeles, I stop at number 16, the second slide, just to give you an indication on when the first United States port pops up. 16th on the list, we've already been surpassed by 35.77% of the global trade in other countries, predominantly. This is just China. So the post-harvest world around shipping is huge, and we have a very minor component of it here in the country, but we do have some good specialists and some good things to talk about because shipping matters. A lot of money in moving these big blueberries and big produce items around the world in these cargoes and containers, right? Well, we could talk all day, and there are other symposium and Cool Logistics Africa, for example. There's 3-4-day symposium about shipping and handling produce around the world. If you'd like to attend them, you can go to them. We have 2 hours. So there's a whole mecca of post-harvest related problems and topics we could touch upon, and some of these our speakers will indeed hit upon today. And likewise, there's a whole bunch of business and economic related topics that we could touch upon, and we don't literally have the time to do this. Perhaps at our working group meeting we can discuss whether or not a colloquium would be a wise thing to try to do for a future show and expand upon some of these and get a little deeper into the nuts and bolts per se. But nonetheless, we have 4 great speakers today. Our first speaker is Mary Lou Arpaia, and her talk, the title is there, and you'll see it again in a minute. She's an extension specialist with the specialist for subtropical fruit, and she has both an education and research program dealing with post-harvest handling, and she conducts research on the role of post-harvest management and post-harvest fruit quality and collaborates in multidisciplinary projects examining the role of irrigation, fertilization, plant growth, and post-management on post-harvest fruit quality. And she didn't put it in here, but she's very well known for her work in avocados. And she conducts work to look at the research and examines the response of subtropical fruits to the post-harvest environments, including, of course, obviously, temperature during handling and ethylene exposure. She's conducted avocado and citrus handling on international projects and focused on developing sound production and management strategies from field to consumer. And up is Mary Lou.